What's so funny? I whisper as Miss Arthur starts talking about early human technological advances. Brief history, he says quietly with a smirk. I pull a confused face and he sighs. She'll go on about the wonders of technology and technomancy in history for most of your lessons. Oh, I say softly. Fuck, I always hated history in school. It takes her a long time to get to the good stuff, he says in a hushed tone. What's the good stuff? I ask, shooting a worried glance to the teacher to make sure she hasn't noticed us chatting. How you put the magic into the mean, he answers. It's like skipping a step. You take the basic human-created tool, fuel it with magic for the means, and boom, technomancy. I don't get it, I mutter, frowning. Okay, say you have a human-designed phone, but it has no signal where you are because of human technology limitations. You'd use technomancy to boost the signal. He explains softly. Why doesn't she just say that? I mutter back. Because she likes the sound of her own voice. I think she should have gone into acting, personally. He replies with a grin. I look back to Miss Arthur, who is still blabbing about the same thing as she was before. I think he might be right. Damn. When do we start using magic in this class? I ask.
About halfway, he says.
That's not so bad, I reply.
Halfway through the year, that is.
You have got to be kidding me, I say, seeing the serious, commiserative expression on his face as it all. Looks like I won't be dealing with my technophobia any time soon, then. Chapter 11. Kenzie. I zip up my black hoodie and mentally kick myself for not wearing more layers. I walk within the tree line, using the cover to shield me from the sight of the main buildings. The last thing I want to do is get caught out after curfew. Curfew. It's ridiculous. I'm 17, not 7. Like any self-respecting teenager is going to stay inside their dorm. I roll my eyes at the thought and then focus back on the task at hand, getting to the dorm without getting caught. I spot the old dorm building in the distance as I approach. Casting my eyes across every inch of the building, I look for any sign of activity or life, but there is nothing. This can't be good. Shit, why am I doing this? I make my way around to the back of the building, wanting to scout out the place before I sneak in somehow. Gods, how am I even meant to get into a locked building? Cat burglar, I am not. The fire exit door at the back provides the answer for me, as it's been left ajar, presumably by whomever sent me the note. Shit, if I go in that way, they'll see me coming for sure. I look more closely at the building. Bingo. I notice a window on the first floor isn't shut all the way. I walk closer and try to work out how to get to the window. I stand there, feeling clueless for a while, when it hits me. East jumping from the window. I could use my air ability to get up there. I'd already managed to call on it once during the fire lesson. How hard could it be? I picture the air mark in my head and try to call on it. I picture the air lifting me. I look down, feet firmly still planted on the ground. Damn it.
Why are you staring at a wall, Crow?
Enzo's voice drifts over to me. I turn to see him walking over from the shadows of the trees. Enzo looks every bit the bad boy he comes across as, with his leather coat, heavy black boots and denim jeans. His black hair is styled to the side, and even in the dim light I can see how dark his eyes are as he watches me. Why are bad guys so friggin' sexy? Did you invite me here? I ask, and he chuckles.
Not even in your dreams, he says slowly, and I have the feeling he is checking me out as he walks past.
I don't reply to his remark as he walks around me, but I do glare at him. I watch as he walks into the building through the fire exit.
Fuck it. I follow him in, feeling the cold wash of a ward hitting me just before the blasting music hits my ears. It's not too loud, but I'm guessing the ward is a sound blocker. The abandoned building has a massive party going on inside. There are 3 huge speakers at the front of the room, and a table full of alcohol at the side. There are chairs littered around and people dancing to the music. The girls look half-dressed in skimpy dresses, and I look down at my jeans and hoodie. I clearly didn't get the memo. There must be about 100 people in here, I think as I look around. I catch a glance of Enzo's back before he disappears into the crowd of people. I walk around for a bit, not seeing anyone I know, and jump when Enzo stops next to me.
You should leave, he says, and I look up at him.
Why? I ask, and he doesn't respond to me, but gives me a look that suggests I'm stupid or something. I watch as he walks away. Kenzie Crow, right? A woman's seductive voice says next to me. I turn a little to see that Stella girl standing next to me, her arms crossed and a sweet smile on her pretty face. Shit, this girl is pretty, and it makes me want to hide in a corner. She has curly blonde hair, a stick-thin figure with big boobs, and the heels she has on make her taller than me. Her dark red dress matches the red lipstick she has on. I want to think it looks slutty, but my mind betrays me by thinking how nice the outfit is with the lipstick. Yes, you're Stella, right? I say, and she smiles widely. I see you've heard of me. Welcome to this year's welcome party, she says, holding out a hand. I don't take it as I think over her words. Why was my friend not invited? I ask her. If this was a welcome party for first years, Kelly should be here. Who? She asks, a slightly annoyed frown on her face as she pulls her hand back slowly. Kelly Kerwood, I say, watching as she laughs. The two? She chuckles out, and I narrow my eyes at her. Oh, honey, we only let 7 and ups in here. You should get some better friends, rather than that weakling. She might as well leave the academy now. She would be better with the humans. I mean, she basically is one. Such a waste of space, she says, and I don't think as I slap her. Her head swishes to the side, and she glares back at me as she straightens up. That felt good. You shouldn't have done that, you little bitch, she says, wiping the blood from her lip. I'm not the one who's a bitch, I say. I won't let her speak about Kelly like that. Stella doesn't reply, but she grabs my arm quickly. Pain slams into me and filters through every part of my body. Falling to my knees as I scream, the pain just keeps flowing through me. Wave after wave. I can't think straight. I try to pull my arm away, but her fake nails dig into my arm as she holds on tight.
Let her go.
Enzo's voice comes through all the pain. His words are clipped and full of anger. I take a deep breath the minute Stella's hand falls away from my arm. My knees give, and I begin to fall to the ground, but someone catches me. I feel a large arm slide under my knees as someone lifts me up. This stupid 12th girl needed to be taught a lesson about her place, Stella says.
You need to fuck off, Stella. This shit isn't cool. She has had her powers a week. Just one fucking week. Winning a fight against her is nothing to be proud of.
Enzo replies. I faintly register that it's him holding me, but everything is still fuzzy. I burrow my head into his chest, smelling his leather jacket and a faint smell that reminds me of a bonfire. Whatever, Stella says flippantly, and I feel Enzo moving with me. Why did you help me? I whisper when the music of the party disappears, and chilly air hits my face. Enzo doesn't reply for what seems like a long time, but I know he heard me.
I don't know, Crow.
He replies softly, and everything goes black.
You have got to wake up, Crow.
A deep voice flitters through to me as I pull my eyes open. Every part of my body aches, reminding me of last night. That Stella girl is a bitch. I resist the urge to move when I look up and see Enzo hovering over me, his face too close, and I see how dark his eyes are this close. They really do look nearly black. I find myself struggling to look away. They are something else. I blink when he straightens up, standing by the bed. I sit up and look around at the dimly lit room. This is not my bedroom. Enzo? I ask, looking around the big room. There are two single beds in here, and there is a guy with light blonde hair lightly snoring in the other bed. There are two large wardrobes, and I notice straight away how much bigger their room is compared to mine and Kelly's. That's so not fair. I feel myself quickly, noticing I'm wearing the same clothes as the party last night. Enzo must have looked after me.
You have got to go before Logan wakes up,
Enzo says quietly, nodding ahead toward the blonde man who stirs in his bed.
Too late, dickhead.
Kenzie, is that you? Logan's sleepy voice drifts over to me as he rolls over. I watch as he grins at me as he sits up in bed, shirtless and looking amazing. His blonde hair is messy and all over his face, but it's not that I'm looking at. No, it's his muscular chest, the marks covering his heart and ribs. He has quite a few, just like his twin. Hey, I say, pulling myself out of the bed and stretching. My shoes and coat are missing, I notice as my feet touch the cold floor.
What are you doing in Enzo's bed? And why wasn't I invited?
Logan asks with a wink that makes me blush.
Crow decided to pick a fight with Stella, and it didn't go well.
Enzo answers dryly.
Shit, your ex. That girl is fucking crazy,
Logan says, suddenly looking much more awake as his eyes widen.
You dated her?
I ask Enzo, and he narrows his eyes on me.
For a bit. It wasn't my best decision. She got a little crazy, he says.
How?
I ask with a chuckle that makes him groan.
She's stalking him and making sure no girl goes near him in this place.
There are some rumors going around,
Logan answers. I chuckle as Enzo uses his air mark to slam a book off the side table. It hits Logan in the chest.
Ouch, dickhead. I didn't say they were true,
he says.
They aren't true.
Enzo grips out and mutters something under his breath that I can't hear.
Why the fuck are we all up on a Sunday at 5 a.m?
Logan asks, and I look over to see him on his phone.
Crow has training with Mr. Daniels at 6. She doesn't want to be late,
Enzo replies.
Shit, how am I going to do a class when I feel like this? I feel like crap,
I reply, and he nods.
That's what happens when people use the pain mark on you. I healed you, but you won't feel good for a day or so. Stella's most powerful mark is pain. She could have killed you, and might have after you hit her. Stella will only see you as competition. You need to learn how to ward yourself.
Enzo says. His tone can't be mistaken for anything other than a warning. I shiver as I remember the pain I felt. It was like being stabbed in every part of my body. I couldn't focus enough to call any of my powers. I have a feeling I'm lucky Enzo was there and saved me. Again.
She used what?
Logan asks, getting out of his bed and coming over to stand in front of me. I freeze as he brushes a stray hair away from my face. His finger skims over my cheek as I take a deep breath.
Man, this guy is hot. Why are there so many hot marks here? I slapped her for speaking about Kelly like shit. What the hell was that party anyway?
I ask, my voice a little too high-pitched, and I inwardly groan. If Logan notices, he doesn't say anything, and he moves away a little. I notice that Enzo has left the room, leaving the door slightly open. I didn't even get to say thank you to the jerk. Stella throws a party every year, only for higher-ups. It's a shit party anyway. Kelly didn't miss out on much, he says.
Still, I hate how she looked down on Kelly for having two powers.
It's our world. Now come on, let's go get some breakfast, and I'll walk you to class as I'm already up.
Logan says as he goes to his side of the room and gets some clothes out. I turn around when he just pulls his shorts off in front of me. Boy, this guy is confident, and from what I caught a glance at, he should be.
I spot my shoes by the door and slip them on. I find my coat on the back of the door and feel the pockets, finding my phone, but it's flat.
Damn, Kelly must be worried.
Let's go, Logan says, and his hand slides into mine as we walk down the quiet corridor.
I don't question his hand in mine, not when I just saw what he looks like naked. Gods, I can't stop thinking about his body.
What classes do we have together?
I ask, remembering he was one of the students Mr. Daniels asked to watch me.
Earth class. I was going to be in your pain class, but it clashes with one of my electives. So, unfortunately, Stella volunteered for that one. Ask Mr. Daniels to teach you how to ward. It's easy, and I would show you if we had time, he says.
Great. More pain from the wannabe Barbie bitch. We don't say much more as we walk through the quiet corridors. It's strange to see it this empty, but I know it's because everyone is still in bed, where I should be. Fucking detention every Sunday.
Are the kitchens even open?
I ask, and he nods.
Yeah, they have food out 24 hours a day now. The transmutation students get really hungry after a shift, and some of those classes are at night, depending on what you shift into.
He explains as we go down the stairs. I wonder what I will shift into. We both grab our food when we get to the dining hall. I choose cereal as there is no cooked food at this time of day, and he gets the same as me. We're munching on our cereal in companionable silence when his phone goes off. He clicks it open and smiles at the phone, accepting a video call.
Eastman, what are you doing awake? He asks. Kelly just came to find me. She can't find Kenzie and I'm...
He stops when Logan cuts him off.
Wait, no worries. She was in our bedroom last night, that's all, Logan explains.
What?
East shouts down the phone. I hear Kelly's voice in the background, and I get up, walking around the table so I can see her.
You could have texted me, Kenz. I've been worried,
Kelly says once I can see her in the phone.
Sorry. It's a long story, but I passed out. Enzo healed me and let me sleep in his bed,
I say, instantly regretting giving my explanation now over the phone.
Shit. She looks even more worried. You okay? She asks. Yeah, I'll explain later. I've got to go to detention. You know, the one with Mr. Daniels,
I say, and she wiggles her eyebrows.
I'm sure he can make you feel better, she says, making me laugh.
I doubt it. Mr. Daniels is a beast of a teacher. Everyone is scared of their classes with him, and no one has ever beaten him in a fight,
Logan tells me.
Shit, that's impressive. What is he doing being a teacher if he has skills like that? He could work for the council,
I reply. I heard his sister is a rebel. That's why he won't work for them.
He won't hunt her, East says, coming back into view of the camera with a worried look.
Makes sense, I guess.
Shit, we need to go. You're going to be late,
Logan says and turns the phone off before I can say goodbye. I look up at the clock, seeing it's already 6:10. Great way to make an impression, Kenz. Turning up late to your first detention. Chapter 12. Kenzie. I enter into the dark classroom and wonder where the heck the light switch is. It's almost pitch black in here. I feel across the wall blindly for the switch, when someone grabs me from behind and throws me. I prepare myself to hit hard ground, but instead hit a soft, cushiony feeling. Matt? A light flickers on, and Mr. Daniels is standing over me, holding a hand out.
You need to work on your awareness, Miss Crow. Had I been an actual attacker, you would be dead right now.
he says softly, a satisfied-looking smile on his face, as if he finds that amusing. I'm seeing why Logan said that the other students are scared of him. He's every bit a dangerous animal. I notice he is wearing gym clothes, like grey joggers and a clingy white t-shirt. No shoes on, and no glasses either. His eyes look even more enticing without his glasses on. I take his hand nervously and allow him to pull me up. The second I'm on my feet, he blasts me back onto my ass with a gust of air magic.
"What the fuck?"
I shout. "Why help me back up just to knock me back down?" I question, feeling baffled at his logic. "You're going to end up on your ass a lot today, Miss Crow. In fact, for the rest of the year, unless you improve," he answers. The look of disdain on his face says just how much he thinks that is likely to happen. "Any reason you are knocking me on my ass? What kind of detention class is this?" I snap. "There are several reasons we are knocking you on your ass, Miss Crow," he says, offering out his hand again. I take it and stand, this time quickly moving as far across the room as possible to get away from him. He smiles somewhat devilishly at the sign of my quick retreat. "Better," he says quietly. A gust of air hits me from behind, pushing me to my hands and knees. "Fucking asshole.
But my magic can hit you even if you do try and hide on the other side of the room. You need to be prepared to block my magic, to attack back."
I barely know how to use any of my powers yet, let alone how to block someone else's. This isn't fair. I spit, standing up without his assistance this time.
"Life isn't fair, Miss Crow,"
he replies, not seeming the least bit bothered by my anger at the situation.
"My job is to teach you just that, and other things. You wanted to know why you will be falling on your ass every Sunday for the next year?"
he asks. "Yes," I admit begrudgingly.
"First, thanks to your 12 marks, you're a target. You need to know how to protect yourself. Second, because falling on your ass is the best way to learn. And finally, because we are going to see if we can trigger your 12th mark,"
he answers smoothly. I try and process his answers, feeling my heart beat faster at the mention of being a target, but something else sticks out more. "Trigger my 12th mark? But we don't even know what it does," I question.
"Exactly. The headmasters have asked me to try and assist you in finding that out."
"And knocking me on my ass is supposed to answer that question. Nobody knows what the bloody 12th mark is," I reply. "Me falling on my ass is so likely to change that, right?" I add sarcastically.
"Yes, it will. Because right now, Miss Crow, tell me how fast your heart rate is. Tell me, are you feeling panicked? Can you feel the adrenaline running through you?"
"Yes, but what does that have to do with the mark?" I ask, watching him slowly stalk closer toward me.
"Marks can be triggered accidentally. Normally, when the person in question is feeling a surge of adrenaline,"
he answers quietly. I go to respond, but he moves so quickly I barely register the attack. He's grabbed me and spun me around, holding me locked against him, my back to his front.
"We need to get your pulse racing, Miss Crow,"
he whispers in my ear. He pushes me harshly away from him, and I turn back around to face him, feeling stunned. I notice that his white workout top is clinging tightly to his impressive body. I can think of a few better ways he could get my pulse racing. The sound of a throat clearing makes me look back up at his face. He raises an eyebrow questioningly at me. "He wants me to attack, right? I can do that." I plant an innocent look on my face, as I'm thinking of the air mark in my head. I call on it, hoping it's more responsive than it was last night. He gives me a curious look, and I feel the power answer me. Without hesitating, I direct it to knock into the back of his legs. He sidesteps my tiny gust with ease, like it would have knocked him anyway. "Damn it!" I curse.
"You'll have to do better than that," he says,
Before you, you know, knock me on my ass again, can you please show me how to protect myself against pain magic?
I ask, remembering what Logan said earlier.
He frowns at my question.
You won't need that in your pain lessons for a few weeks at least, Miss Crow. Why would you like to specifically know that right now?
No reason,
I answer too quickly. You do seem a little worn down, he says softly, approaching me slowly.
He rests a hand against my forehead and closes his eyes, as if concentrating. I feel a slight wave of magic roll through me, a probing feeling. What are you doing? I ask quietly, not wanting to put him off and have him accidentally fry my brain or something.
I'm using my healing ability to sense for illness or injury in your body.
He answers stoically, opening his eyes.
Now, Miss Crow, I am only going to ask you once, so think very carefully before you try and refuse to answer me.
Okay, I mumble, stepping back slightly.
Who the fuck used the pain mark on you? I know it couldn't have been in a class. You haven't had that lesson yet. Not that anyone in a class would be pumping that much juice into it, he says.
I think about it for a moment. There is no use denying it happened, but that doesn't mean I need to tell him anything. I can deal with bitches like Stella myself. I smacked someone. They used pain on me. I'm not telling you who or why. It's none of your business, I respond, narrowing my eyes at him, just daring him to try and push me on the matter. He takes me by surprise when, instead, he just nods his head slightly, as if accepting my answer.
Did you have a good reason for hitting them?
He asks. Yes, I think I did, I answer.
Well, considering their means of retaliation, I would believe it.
He sighs and runs a hand through his sexy hair. Damn it, Kenzie. Stop checking your teacher out. I look away, trying not to stare at him any more than is appropriate to look.
Look at me, Miss Crow, he demands.
I turn my head back towards him and stare into his determined green eyes.
You know what the protection mark looks like, yes?
He asks. Yes, I say, nodding. It would be hard not to, considering it's on my skin.
Describe it to me as you picture it,
he says softly, taking my hand in his. I shiver from the touch. It looks like a shield with an eye on it, I say, trying to picture the exact image in my head.
Now, imagine that shield in front of you, protecting you,
he softly instructs. Okay. I close my eyes.
Are you doing it now?
He asks. Yes, I answer. Suddenly, I feel a slight, tiny pinprick stabbing into my hand. I gasp and try to pull my hand away from him, but he holds on tight.
Sorry, but you have to feel a slight pain to defend against it. Imagine that shield. Call on your mark.
I do as he says, but still I can feel that same pinprick pain on my hand. It isn't working, I moan.
Try to imagine the shield changing shape, imagining it growing and surrounding you completely in a bubble. Tighten the bubble to your skin. Visualization is key.
He coaches me on. I do as he says. Still not working, I mutter.
Call harder on your mark. The visualization may have taken your concentration away from the mark itself.
I do as he says, and the pinprick pain stops. I open my eyes and smile at him. Got it, I say happily. He releases his hold of my hand, and I rub it with my other one, still feeling tingly.
You're a quick learner, he remarks, making me smile.
I go to reply, when suddenly a gust of wind knocks me on my ass again. You ass! I snap, and then a mortified expression takes over my face. Oops. I wait for him to tell me off for backchatting,
but he just laughs.
You really need to work on your awareness, he says, and then laughs some more.
Yeah, laugh it up now, Mr. Daniels. I narrow my eyes on him. I'm going to get you back one day, and it won't just be you landing on your perfect ass. Chapter 13. Kenzie. Lying on top of my bed covers, stretched out like a starfish, I barely flinch as Kelly loudly lets herself into the room, clumsily slamming the door behind her.
Hey, Kenz, she greets cheerily.
I only groan in response. My whole body is aching. If I thought Mr. Daniels was going to take it easy on me after finding out that I had been zapped with pain, I was very wrong. We spent the next 3 hours with him effectively just knocking me to the ground 100 or so times. He also was shooting jets of icy cold water at me, which I was meant to dodge or block. My clothes were drenched and my body was aching. I clearly did a sucky job at both of those things.
That bad, huh?
Yeah, East was saying that he was a slave driver, Kelly says with a laugh. East? When was she with East? I try to stamp down on the jealous feeling that rises in me. He probably mentioned it when she was looking for me earlier. But why did she go to East to find me?
East?
I mumble, trying to make it sound casual.
Yep. Easton was talking for a good hour about how hardcore Mr. Daniels is. Total man crush, I think. Logan and Locke were the same. They seem to worship him like a god.
She chatters away, almost mindlessly. I try to ignore the pangs I feel at her mentioning each of them.
Do I like them too? Ugh, play it cool, Kenzie. Did they mention me at all today?
I ask, and then immediately cringe. Cool as a fucking cucumber.
Oh, my gods, Kelly says, her voice excited.
Oh, no.
You like them, don't you?
She accuses.
They're attractive,
I grumble, wishing my bed would just swallow me whole.
You know I'm not into them, right, Kenz? Even if I was, you'd have nothing to worry about,
she replies.
Of course I would have something to worry about. You're a knockout, Kells,
I say, and she narrows her eyes at me. I'm sure she is going to come back with some remark when my iPad starts buzzing. I groan as I roll on my side and grab it. I accept the FaceTime call and two of my dad's faces come into view, way too close to the camera. They're so close I can just see two noses. Despite the fact they both have the technomancy marks, they are useless with technology.
Move back, guys. You're too close,
I say with a small laugh.
Little Kenny, we miss you, baby.
Dad P says when they both move and hold their iPad a good distance away. I groan when I hear that nickname. They all call me it. Thank God that East doesn't. He heard it enough. Dad P has wavy blonde hair, bright green eyes, and a cheeky smile as he leans back a little. I know it's likely he isn't my real dad, but he has been in every way that's possible.
Hey, Dad,
I say, and Dad L replies to me. Dad L has short black hair and a serious expression. I would assume he is my biological dad, but who knows? My mum has dark hair too. Ryan has dark hair too, but he has bright green eyes, so I always guessed he might be Dad P's son. I laugh when I see him being shoved out of the way by Dad M, who comes to sit in the middle of them on the sofa. Dad M has brown hair, it's messy with curls, and he is built like a giant. Their nicknames are based on their names, Mike, Pete, and Liam. I look at all three of them sitting there smiling.
Where's Mum?
How's our little Kenny?
Dad M asks, leaning forward so I can see his brown eyes in the camera.
All good. Everything is...
I start to say, but I'm cut off.
Don't try that with me. We can all tell when you're lying, Kenny, and have done so since you were five. And you lied about who ate all the Smarties off your birthday cake before your birthday. When were you going to tell us about your 12 marks?
Dad M says, narrowing his eyes on me in a way that tells me I'm in trouble.
Shit, who told him?
I've been ignoring my brother's calls in case he tells them, and they panic. One look at all their worried faces, and I know I was right not to tell them. I know it's a lot of marks, but come on, it's not that bad, I answer, and they all look at me like I'm stupid. I might be. I glance at the door as Kelly slides out of it and mouths, later. She's just abandoning me to my fate. I glare at her, which just makes her laugh as she leaves.
Do you know how many marked I treat in the hospital that lose control of their powers and just about survive?
Dad P asks. Yes, Dad, I answer, and he continues on.
Too many, and every goddamn day there is more. Our kind can't handle that amount of power without losing control, and I'm worried. I don't want to treat you for losing control or lose you altogether. So you need to study and keep your emotions in check.
I don't know about my emotions, but my hormones need controlling around all the sexy guys here. Not that I'm going to enlighten any of my dads to that particular fact.
Yes, Mike is right. You need to focus,
Dad P says, nodding just before my mum comes into view of the camera.
Oh, Kenny, what trouble have you gotten yourself into now? I got a frantic call from your brother telling us about your marks. Everyone is talking about you, and how we could finally find out what the 12th power is, she says as she sits on Dad P's lap.
I don't know what it is. Mr. Daniels is doing classes with me, so I can learn, I say, deciding to use the word classes and not detention. I don't need them freaking out about that, too.
I want you to be careful. There has been...
My mum starts.
That's enough, love.
Dad M cuts her off.
There's been what?
I ask, and they all look at each other.
She should know. It's too much of a coincidence that all this started getting worse when she got her 12 powers,
she says, and they all sigh. Her word is law with them. They rarely tell her no.
The rebels have been getting stronger recently. More attacks and more marked have been going missing,
Dad M explains, running a hand through his curly hair.
They killed one of the High Council members and took something. We aren't sure what. I'm sure you will hear about it tomorrow around school, but I treated him. They killed 20 marked before they got to him. I don't know how they got so powerful or what they wanted, but I don't like it.
Dad P says with a serious look. I know why he is worried. The High Council members are the most powerful of our kind. All of them 10 marks or 11, and to beat one, you have to have some serious power. They were the ones with extreme power, but they also have the control to handle it, making them a force to be reckoned with.
What could they possibly want?
I reply after a moment of silence.
I don't know, Kenny, but train and stay safe. Watch your back, okay?
She answers with a serious look, and I nod. And call your brother, she adds, before she and the others say goodbye. I turn the iPad off and reach for my phone on the side, every part of my body feeling like I've been run over from my torture earlier. I dial Ryan's number, and he answers on the third ring.
Well, well, look who finally decided to call me back.
The deep, sarcastic tone of my brother comes through the line.
Don't be a little shit.
I know you told our mum and dads about my marks, I say, and he laughs.
Kenny,
how did you expect to hide that? He asks, and I hear the sounds of a chair creaking in the background.
I don't know, but you know how they worry,
I say.
Shit, all right, I'm sorry. How's the academy?
He asks, not sounding the least bit sorry. Full of drama. I can see why he didn't like it here. I just had detention, and I feel like death, I say.
Who with?
He asks. Mr. Daniels? I say,
holy shit, that man is a god. Everyone knows about him and his family. His parents died protecting his sister, apparently,
he says. Do you know much more? I ask, wanting to know about him.
No, but I feel sorry for his sister. I mean, I heard she joined the rebels because they want humans to know about us, and so we don't have to hide. When the council found out, they tried to kill her,
like they do all rebels, and her parents defended her. He says,
Yeah, but the rebels don't just want the humans to find out. They want war, Ryan.
I say, not liking how he is making them out to sound good.
They aren't.
Why is that so bad? He asks.
There's an awkward silence where I don't know how to respond, and he changes the subject. I'm sure he didn't mean it.
Is Kelly okay? Has she met anyone?
He asks me.
Why?
I ask.
Just wondering.
Shit, can't I ask about your friend? He says. Ryan has never asked about Kelly, and ignored her a lot growing up, as much as he ignored me. The only time I saw them talk was last Christmas when Kelly came to dinner with us because her parents were out of town on business. Even then, it wasn't much more than a simple chat about something random on telly. Kelly is fine, I say slowly, and he clears his throat.
How many marks did she get? I bet she got a lot,
he asks.
2,
I say.
Fuck, do her dads know?
He asks, reminding me that both her dads are part of London's council. There are 24 council members in each district, and there are 5 districts around the world. Her parents have an immense amount of power, and growing up, they made it clear that they wanted Kelly to follow in their footsteps.
No, they don't. But if they can't accept it, well, they can go and fuck themselves,
I say, and he laughs.
Tell her, well, I don't know, just that I said hello,
he says, sounding awkward.
What the hell?
Right, I say, trailing off.
Gotta go, Kenny. Later.
Ryan quickly replies and puts the phone down. I lie on my back on the bed and look up at the ceiling, coming to the conclusion that my brother is even weirder than I'd previously given him credit for being.
Chapter 14. Locke. What class have you got now? I ask Kenzie, outside my elective fighting class. Only East, Logan, and Enzo are in this class that Mr. Daniels teaches. All the others are too shit scared to try to fight us in here. Healing with Kelly. She is so excited, she replies. You best go, I say, nodding in the direction of her friend Kelly, who is walking towards us. See you later, she says, and I grab her arm gently. Don't I get a hug goodbye? I say, and her cheeks go slightly red as she nods with a laugh. I pull her into a hug, loving the feel of her body pushed against mine, and kiss her cheek. As I pull my lips away and hear her little gasp, I see Mr. Daniels walking over to us. His eyes narrow on me and Kenzie. What is that about?
You are going to be late for class, Miss Crow, he says in a clipped tone as I let her go.
Going, Mr. Daniels, she says,
and I follow him into our class as Kenzie walks away. I laugh as I watch East knock Logan on his ass with a blast of air as I take my coat off. They look like they've been at it a while. East walks over and offers him a hand up as Mr. Daniels starts clapping.
Good. Locke, you're against me next, he says, and I internally groan.
Logan pats my shoulder as he passes, and I walk in front of Mr. Daniels, quickly calling protection and shielding myself. He only smirks before jumping back and shifting mid-air into a large, grey wolf. Guess I know what training he wants to do today. A neat trick is to have your protection ward on when you shift, and your clothes stay with your human form. Thank the gods some mark figured that out. I don't want to see his naked ass. I do the same, shifting into my own black panther, feeling the cold wash of my mark spreading all over my body. The shift is instant now. I only have to think about it, and I can shift. I remember how, at the start, bonding with your chosen creature is difficult, nearly impossible to control if it's strong. I ended up running around the forest for a whole day trying to shift back. A loud growl is the only warning before Mr. Daniel's wolf slams into my side, biting my shoulder. I shake him off with a paw, scratching his side, and I snap my teeth at his leg, making him loosen his grip. I call my healing mark as I step back, ignoring the blasting pain radiating through my back. Fucking hell, he is serious today. Mr. Daniels shifts back suddenly, calling his watermark as I shift back. I'm too late, as a wave of water surrounds me just as I get into my human form, and he uses his power to slam me into the wall. Fucking hell, he used a lot of power to do that. Very good. You almost got a hit in, he says, his words dripping with sarcasm. I stand up, looking around the room and seeing only East and Logan watching by the door. Almost seemed personal, sir, I say as he comes over, and I use air to dry my clothes. I remember the look he gave me when I kissed Kenzie's cheek. That was personal, and I know it as much as he does. This is training, he responds coldly. Nothing to do with a certain black-haired beauty, then? I say, calling him out on that bullshit, and he narrows his eyes on me. Do you want detention? He snaps. Would it be with Kenzie, sir? Because yes, yes, I would. I say, with a slow chuckle, and I swear I hear a slight growl from him. Mr. Daniels never loses any control. But when I look at him and see the slight glow of his eyes, I know he is close. Seems the all-powerful teacher has a crush on a student. Not that I can blame him. Leave now! He threatens, and I smirk. So soon? I ask him, but he doesn't answer. Shame you're her teacher, isn't it? I add goadingly, and he growls louder as I leave. Fuck it. I didn't want to go to his stupid class today anyway.
Chapter 15. Kenzie. Come on, Kenz, Kelly urges, tugging me along. I cast a glance over my shoulder as we turn the corner, watching Mr. Daniels lead Locke into the classroom. From the look in Mr. Daniels' eyes, I wouldn't want to be Locke right now. I wonder what he did to provoke him. Whatever it is, I need to make a note to not do it. I'm coming, I mumble, trusting Kelly to lead me in the right direction to class. She's a lot better at directions than I am, and she actually has her phone with her to use the map app. That always helps. So, you and Locke looked close? She probes lightly. Nothing is going on yet. You'd be the first to know, but I do like him. I admit. I think he likes you, if that kissing was anything to go by. She teases. Shut up. Totally doesn't count. Cheek. I kiss my mother on the cheek. Hell, you kiss my mother on the cheek. What are you trying to say? That you're trying to bang my relatives? I tease back. She flushes. Of course not. Ugh. Come on, Kenz. We're running late. Have you been on time to any of your classes yet? She asks. Maybe one? I reply. Were you this bad in human school? She asks. Worse, I answer with a grin. I think back on my time at the human comprehensive school I went to in my hometown. Most marked children get private tutors, or attend small marked schools that teach the basic human subjects, maths, English, and science, as well as the history of the marked. My parents opted to send me to a human school, like Dad P went to. They taught me about marked history at home, not like I ever paid much attention. I always enjoyed human school, had human friends, and I loved some of my human classes. I think about some of my classes in particular, and my goals for when I left school. But now, it feels like my goals are never going to work. It feels like everything has changed. The plan is still there, 12 marks or one, 3 years at the Marked Academy, and then I can go back to the plan. I think the mantra over in my head a few times. Maybe if I do that enough, I can believe it.
I'm drawn out of my thoughts as we come to a stop outside of a classroom. Kelly pushes open the door, and I follow in after her. Everyone in the class is sitting at desks already, listening to our teacher. I inwardly groan as all the eyes turn to me and Kelly.
"Sorry we're late, sir,"
Kelly says, giving him her sweetest look. Like everyone else does when Kelly uses that look, the teacher's frown fades away, and he smiles back at her.
"That is fine, Miss Kerwood. Please, can you and Miss Crow take a seat?"
I try to spot where we can sit, but there aren't any seats together. Kelly slips into a spare seat in the front, next to a guy with pale blonde hair. I glance around for another empty seat.
"You have got to be kidding me. Ugh."
I make my way across the room and drop into the only free seat left, which just so happens to be next to Enzo. Sighing as I shove my bag under the desk, I deliberately face forward, pointedly ignoring him.
"You look pleased to see me,"
he mutters.
"Because it's always such a pleasure to see you,"
I chirp back sarcastically.
"You are so frustrating. I can't believe I'm missing my elective with Mr. Daniels for this,"
he says bitterly.
"I didn't ask you to,"
I snap back.
"No, because if you did, I'd have told you where to go. I'm here because Mr. Daniels asked me to be. That's it,"
he says sharply, and a little too loudly. A couple of students sitting around us shoot dark looks in our direction. I kick Enzo's foot under the table.
"Shut up,"
I mutter. He kicks my foot back.
"Asshole isn't meant to kick me back."
I kick his shin this time, harder, and shoot a smug look at him. Like he's going to...
Ouch! The fucker actually kicked me harder.
"Don't start what you can't finish, Crow,"
he snaps.
"Who said I won't?"
I reply, narrowing my eyes on him.
"Important conversation you are having, I assume, Miss Crow, Mr. Langston?"
the teacher asks, somehow having snuck right up to our desk. I wonder why Enzo has a different surname to his sister. Did he not take his mum's name, or did she not?
"No, sir,"
Enzo says quickly. I follow suit and shake my head.
"Well, I will assume the two of you were listening and know exactly what we are doing today, then,"
he asks.
"Yes, sir,"
we both answer in unison. A united front in our joint lie, at least.
"Good. Everyone stand up and get into pairs for the activity,"
he instructs as he walks back towards his desk. I quickly move from my seat and grab Kelly.
"What are we doing?"
I whisper to her.
"We're meant to be reading each other for injury or sickness,"
she whispers back.
"How are we meant to..."
"Miss Kerwood, Crow, you two girls first,"
the teacher calls, cutting me off.
"Shit."
He gestures for the two of us to come to the front of the classroom. The smug look on his rounded face telling me that he knows I have no clue what I'm doing, and has just called me up to humiliate me. I thought healers were meant to be gentle, kind souls. I roll my eyes and saunter up to the front of the class with curls in tow.
"It's cool. I'll just copy Kelly."
"Miss Crow, you will check Miss Kerwood first,"
he instructs. Well, there goes that plan. How the heck did Mr. Daniels check me for injuries? Hand on forehead? I never realized how inconvenient my never getting sick would be. The sound of a throat clearing makes me jump.
"Any time now, Miss Crow,"
he says, sighing with exasperation. I lay a hand across Kelly's forehead and close my eyes, trying to concentrate. I picture the healing mark.
Nothing. Shit.
I open my eyes and move my hand from her head, stepping back.
"She's all good,"
I announce.
"Are you sure about that?"
he asks, skeptically.
"Yep, I'm feeling great, sir,"
Kelly answers for me.
"Fine. Kerwood, your turn,"
he says curtly, shooting me a disbelieving look. But it's not like he can just call me a liar in front of the whole class. I'd look up how to do it later. Kelly places a hand over my forehead and closes her eyes. I feel the light probing feeling roll through me,
Trust Kelly to get it right first time. She drops her hand and her eyes fly open.
You're hurt,
she accuses.
It's nothing much,
I mutter back. Just an aching all over my body that won't go away since bitch-face Stella zapped me. She frowns and puts her hands either side of my head and closes her eyes again.
Wait, Miss Kerwood, you really should not be doing that,
the teacher begins to say, when suddenly a glow takes over Kelly, much like when she had the vision.
Shit.
A hush falls over the room. I'm about to move back from her hold on my head when a feeling of lightness fills me. I feel like every inch of my body is sparking for a moment, and then nothing. I feel fine. The aching is gone. A rush of energy hits me.
Shit, Kels, I feel like new,
I mumble, feeling like I could climb a mountain or run a marathon right now. She moves her hand.
Sorry,
she stutters to the teacher.
I just knew I could do it,
she says simply. He stares at her for a moment like she's this peculiar creature, and he just doesn't know what to do with her.
Take your seats, both of you, he says.
We quickly scarper back into some seats. She slips into what was Enzo's seat to stay with me. After a tense moment or so, the teacher calls the attention back to the front of the class and calls up another two students.
What the hell was that, Kels?
I ask her, feeling a little concerned.
I have no idea, Kens. Not a fucking clue.
Chapter 16. Kenzie. As I walk into my next class, I inwardly groan when I spot the person who will be my extra help in this class. Stella is sitting at the back of the classroom, a satisfied smile on her face. Of course, Stella would be the one to volunteer to be in my pain class. Just freaking typical. As I've managed to arrive late, again, there are no spare seats apart from right next to her. The universe hates me, I am sure of it. I glumly walk across the classroom and take my seat next to her without saying so much as a word. I look up to try and spot the teacher, seeing that they haven't arrived yet. Huh, a teacher that shows up late. Finally some luck. Everyone is chatting or on their phones. I reach into my bag for my own phone, glad I stopped by my dorm at lunch for it. I notice a couple of texts from my brother. I frown and then open them, surprised by getting a message at all when we only talked on the phone last night. Ryan, I heard something happened with Kelly in her classes. Something about glowing. Can you let me know what is up? Ryan, Kenny, stop being so shit at replying and answer your phone. Ryan, I swear there is no point in you owning a phone sometimes. I can't help but smile a little at his frustration, knowing that my rejection of technology is a constant source of annoyance to my family. I go to reply, then I hear the door to the classroom loudly slam shut. I drop my phone. It hits the floor with a crack.
Shit.
I quickly pick it up and assess the damage.
Fuck's sake.
A large crack runs right down the center of the screen, several little cracks running off it. I can't help but think that the shattered phone screen resembles the cracks on the arrow's struck circle of the 12th mark. I tuck it back into my bag sorrowfully. I've had that phone for 6 years. I guess I'll finally need to upgrade. I jump again at the sound of something loud crashing down onto a table. I look up and see the teacher has loudly slammed a pile of books onto their desk. I gulp. There goes thinking I was maybe in luck with this teacher. The teacher has long black hair tied in a low ponytail, pale white, almost translucent-looking skin, sharp features, and dark eyes that look like deep pools of nothingness. He's tall and slim, but still somehow appears intimidating despite not having a broad frame. The look on his face is pure annoyance. Who the heck saw this guy and thought, that's the one. Let's hire him and give all the students nightmares. I shudder at the thought of this guy slipping into my nightmares,
already feeling like he'll be scary enough to handle in these lessons. He looks around the room.